Hello, everybody. This is PRC Weekly Report, Episode 16. I'm Todd Workman, and I'll be your host, and I'm going to visit with Bill again this morning. Good morning, Bill.
Hello, Todd. Good morning to you.
I think for the sake of today's conversation, I'm going to go ahead and title this podcast, What is a Political Union? With like five question marks after it. So with that being said, let's jump right into it. I think, Bill, we both know that there's a problem. We have a problem, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. Why don't you jump into the problem at hand and give us your insight on what you view the problem to be?
Yeah, Todd, and let me say I really appreciate you doing this because I think we've needed a podcast kind of dedicated to the idea of what is a political union, because more and more it looks like that's what PRC PAC really is, and that's how people are looking at us. So it deserves to be addressed, and we need to explain kind of what it is and all that. But before we actually do that, let's talk about what the problem is. And I think it's instinctually evident to most people. Most people know there's something wrong with our politics. Most people, you know that things aren't going the way they should. They're tired of all the contention, the lies, everything else that's anti-American. But again, when it comes to putting your finger on it and saying exactly what's going on, sometimes it gets rather elusive. And it's really pretty simple, I think. I mean, the problem is our elected officials, and I'm talking U.S. senators and U.S. Congress people, they're no longer representing the will of the people, in my opinion. And I think almost everybody would agree with that. They've got other priorities. They've got other things they look to. But, you know, constitutionally, they're supposed to protect and defend the Constitution. And by the Constitution, that is supposed to promote the welfare of the citizens of this country. That's what it's all about. Defend our borders, promote our welfare. There's very specific tasks that the U.S. Constitution sets out for our elected officials, for our government to perform. And the problem we have right now, the huge problem, is our elected officials, speaking specifically about the Congress and the Senate, they are ignoring that. They are no longer concerned. Let's put it this way. Their priority concern is no longer the welfare of the general public, of the people, of the citizenry. They're not listening to us anymore, Todd.
Right. And if you think about it, how is it possible for 535 people to have the type of control over 310 million that our elected officials have in Washington? I think somewhere the system went south.
Well, the problem is there's no accountability anymore.
Correct.
And the Republican parties, the political parties have become so powerful, and money has become so huge, the amounts of money so huge. And this is not about campaign finance. That's a totally different wicket altogether. It gets sticky. But the problem is real. And you've got the mega donors, you've got the multinational corporations, you've got the billionaires. You know, we've called them ruling class oligarchs before. And we can, and again, I'm not here to go into all of that right now, the ruling class culture out there necessarily. This is really a talk about what the problem is and what our solution to that problem is. And the problem is just that our representatives, in many cases, don't even have the incentive to listen to the people. They literally play act during election time to say whatever it will take to get them the votes, because most people don't pay attention. Most people are disgusted. They're not paying attention. They're putting their head down, living their lives, and I kind of get that. And around election time, they pop their heads up to see what's going on. Well, that's when these people literally lie, a lot of them lie their heads off. And so they get the votes, they get elected back into office based upon their party affiliation many times. And then once they go back into office, they totally forget anything and everything they've ever said. And it's so bad that they know when they're lying on the campaign trail. Here's the thing. They know that we know they're lying. They don't care. They don't care. All they care about is that 10 or 15% that's uninformed, that doesn't pay close attention. If they can get their votes just because they're registered Democrat or registered Republican, then that's all they care about. And there's no integrity to the process whatsoever anymore. It's not about character. It's not about morals. It's not about ethics. It's not about anything. It's the pure power. It's the pure money behind all of it. And that's where the problems come from. But what we need to do is address it. First of all, we need to acknowledge it. The problem exists. We've got a problem. Republican leadership does not represent Republicans. And that may seem like an oxymoronic statement. It may seem like a bold statement, but I challenge anybody to argue it. It's so blatantly not true anymore. And by the way, Todd, when I'm saying this, I want to mention this. You could say the exact same things about the Democrat Party.
Well, yeah, but they're as a whole that way.
Well, so, I mean, they are. And the truth is the corruption is so embedded in the leadership levels of the Democrat Party. Well, I mean, the Clinton crime family, I mean, look at all of that, right?
Right.
And even without the Clintons, still today, the Pelosi, Schumer, I mean, I don't want to libel myself by calling anybody a crook, but there's a lot of corruption going on up there. And there are, you know, and you add to that the influence of the insane liberal left and their power in the party. And it's just, it's a lost cause. So we're not going to be talking about the Democrat Party here. It's a problem in both parties in reality, but we're going to focus on the Republican Party for the purposes of our conversation here.
Right. And I don't think we need to do anything with the Democrats. They do enough for us by simply being on TV and opening their mouths and telling us exactly where they stand anyway. So
yeah. Let them self-destruct. I agree.
Right. So you mean like, Paul Ryan just slipped a bill through on the Irish immigrants to compete with college graduate jobs. That's not in the best interest of the Republicans. Susan Collins voting with 14 or 49 Democrats, passing a bill to make it easier for the IRS to tackle and focus on conservatives. Jeff Flake warning you and I, the little people, of authoritarian rule that we're facing with President Trump on his way out the door in an effort to save us because he knows better than we do.
Yeah, you know, all of those are perfect examples. You mentioned, you know, Susan Collins there. Well, she's a Republican from, is she Maine or Alaska? She's Maine, right?
Maine, yeah.
And, you know, she goes ahead and sides with Democrats. Now, that loophole you're talking about, that bill you're talking about, it's complicated. And to stay out of the weeds, very simply put, this is the loophole the Democrats used under the Obama administration to have the IRS investigate and persecute conservative organizations like the Tea Party.
Right.
And, you know, Congress turned around and said, let's fix that and everything else. Well, Susan Collins just voted to reinstate it. I mean, it's just, there's nobody that wants that. Nobody wants it except for people that want to abuse it. Yet you've got a Republican senator here supporting it. You mentioned Obamacare. You know, Obamacare, a district judge, federal judge, just ruled it unconstitutional. Now that we no longer have the mandate, right, the penalty on the mandate for everybody that has to buy it, the judge says, look, now it's clearly unconstitutional. Well, let me ask you this. Why are we having to rely on a judge to do something that the overwhelming majority of American people in poll after poll have said they want it repealed, they want it gone? And why can't our Republican Congress people, senators and congressmen, why can't they repeal it? They won't do it. And we know the answer is there's money, there's all kinds of other influences there, there's anti-Trump, never-Trumpers, there's all kinds of things going on. But the bottom line is their top priority is not the welfare of the American people. Their top priority is not the will of the American people. They have their own agenda. They're not accountable to us anymore.
And that their top priority is not adhering to the Constitution. It's as if they pass something and then hope and pray that the judiciary branch says, yeah, it's okay. You guys are good.
Yeah. And you mentioned Paul Ryan. Well, you mentioned one of the things he kind of slipped through real quietly there about legal immigration. I mean, the abuse, everyone focuses on illegal immigration, which is bad. And by the way, Paul Ryan did everything he could to stall anything on the border wall, on affecting, you know, we've got E-Verify issues. We've got the loopholes in asylum. We've got all kinds of issues there on illegal immigration that could have been addressed, that the American people overwhelmingly want addressed, both Democrats and Republicans, by the way, a supermajority of people want that addressed. Yet he won't allow anything to come to a vote. He pushes all of it past the election when he knows the Democrats are probably going to have the majority. I mean, it's just, you know, he's absolutely not representing the will of the people. And that's one of the things that directly undermines all of those things directly undermine, whether it's legal or illegal immigration, they undermine the welfare of the middle class in this country.
Yes, they do.
You know, when you oppose the trade negotiations Trump's trying to renegotiate, you know, you're on the side of wanting to take our jobs and ship them overseas, take them away from Americans. When you bring in more immigrants to take jobs away from college graduates in this country, I mean, there's no way you can say your priority is on the middle class of this country, can you?
You're right. So What we do here at PRC PAC is we identify candidates that are sided with the ruling class, and we know we have to beat them on a primary level, because once they make it to the ballot, people oftentimes go into the booth, they vote a straight ticket. And that's how the people get in there. If you vote straight Republican, you're putting in a ruling class politician. So we know that's what we have to do and what we are and what we are about. What are we not about, Bill? What you know, you've heard some stuff, I've heard some stuff. What is PRC PAC as a whole? And then what are we not going to do, or what are we not going to be involved in?
Okay. Great question. And let me first off, I'm going to start off by saying who we're not. We're not just Republicans. Okay. Now, I think a lot of people that are the membership of PRC PAC are registered Republicans, but frustrated Republicans, right?
Right. Yeah.
But you know what? We've got a whole lot of libertarians. We've got people that, you know, are sick and tired of the U.S. Constitution being shredded the way it is. We've got a fair number of Democrats, are either former Democrats or frustrated Democrats, right?
Right.
That have seen their party just go down the tube. So we're not just the Republicans. Now, we are going to focus on the Republican primary elections, just like you said, because, Todd, that's where we can make a difference. And I don't mean make a difference 10 years from now. I mean, that's where we can make a difference in the very next national primaries coming up here. I mean, in every set of primaries coming up, and it's important that we do. So that's who we're not. What we're not. We're not a third party movement. Okay.
Right. Not going to start a third party.
Right. I mean, there's, and you know what, there's been a lot of people wanting to do that, and I get it. I understand. I understand the frustration is so extreme, so intense, that people say, you know, let's just dump the Republican Party. The leadership doesn't listen to us. They don't pay attention. They've got buku bucks. I mean, and I get it, because people want to donate, right? I mean, people are willing to go out there and support what they believe in with their time, effort, their money, and everything else. But what you donate to the Republican Party, what happens? Well, Mitch McConnell is going to direct that money to go to the people that support Mitch McConnell and his cronies, the current leadership that doesn't represent us. So your money gets abused. It gets diverted to the tags, actually the opposite thing of what you want. So what are people going to do? People are left scratching their heads. So, you know, I understand why people want a third party, but it's not the way to go.
Well, a third party would basically guarantee a Democrat majority and everything for the next 10 or 15 years until you got it established. Are you going to do a split the conservative vote, and it would be a train wreck?
Yeah, it absolutely would. And even at that, 10 or 15 years might not be enough to get anybody elected under that party or any significant numbers of people, because the idea of our two-party system has been so ingrained, Republican, Democrat, that all of these people that, you know, don't pay a whole lot of attention, nobody's even going to know the name of that third party. I mean, Todd, it's just a lost cause, and we need to take action now. We can't wait 15, 30 years to try to make a difference. We've got to do things now. So the third party route is not the solution.
So we're left with little choice other than to get in there in the primaries, roll our sleeves up, expose the ruling class, and get real American patriots on the ballot for the people to vote for. That's our only choice.
Well, it is, Todd, but here's the problem. The other side, and right now, for the purpose of this conversation, I'm going to talk about the other side as being the Republican leadership. I'm talking both in the Senate and the House and the Republican Party in general, okay? People like Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, you know, the Republican leader and a whole bunch of others. But the Republican leadership is not defending us. They're not protecting our interests. And here's the thing. We have to be – they're organized.
Yes, they are.
And we're not. We're not. You know, if this was a company, right, if this was a business, we would say they're management and we're the workers, right? And we're being abused. I mean, management is no longer – taking care of the workers. Management is no longer concerned about our safety, our welfare, our livelihood. You know, they're no longer concerned about any of those things. They're the I hate to say it, but they've become the epitome of the greedy management and ownership that just wants to squeeze every dime they can out of the employees and just could care less about anything else except that bottom line, their bottom line. And what, you know, historically, when that happens, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that's kind of accidentally, you know, you're talking about our organization, PRC PAC. we didn't start out as looking at it in that frame of mind. We didn't start out as looking at it like us against management, right? We started out, there was a book written, and the book became a bestseller, and it was about, you know, it's not about donkeys and elephants. It was about the ruling class mentality, right? And how our politicians didn't represent us anymore. And that gained a lot of popularity. A website was set up to support it. It kind of became a movement. People started wanting to put money into it. So our attorney said, look, you got to go to the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, register yourself as a political action committee. So that's what we did. And it's kind of evolved into today what, you know, for all practical purposes, when we look at this, Todd, we are a union. And we're not a labor union. And I'm not, and by the way, I think there was a time and place for labor unions in American history. If you go back to the Industrial Revolution, it's kind of exactly what we described, right? I mean, a lot of factories and manufacturers were kind of abusing people, et cetera. And there was a time and place for that. And, you know, you can argue whether that time and place still exists in today's world. That's not the purpose of this. I'm opinionated on it, but it's not the purpose of this conversation. Okay. The point is that we have a political situation right now, not a labor situation. We have a political situation where our leadership, our management is no longer representing us. They're organized. We're not. We've got to get organized. We need a political union. We need to come together in a way to where we can collectively build a war chest, to where we can come together in an organized fashion, to where we have political clout.
Okay. And when you say political clout in my mind means two things. You have to have a number of people, enough people that they'll listen, and you have to have money.
That's correct? Absolutely correct. You don't go any place in politics without money. And it's, and a lot, and by the way, the challenge a lot of organizations out there have that try, and you know, I think we're unique in the sense of a political union. I'm not aware of anybody else doing what we're doing. Don't mean to slight anybody if somebody's trying, but I think we're, to my knowledge, we're the largest, most visible, and perhaps the only ones really dedicated to doing it, what we're doing, the way we're doing it. But my point is this. There are organizations out there that try to create movements, but they don't have money. They don't have enough people. They don't have enough money, and they can't get anything done. If you can't assemble a war chest, if you can't, I mean, nothing is going to happen in the political world without money, but it's also not going to happen unless you've got the grassroots behind you that can flood a senator's office before a vote with emails and phone calls.
Right.
Unless you know, can eventually call a convention. Now I'm not real big into protests and marches, but, you know, I guarantee you when all those motorcyclists showed up to support President Trump in the Capitol and everything, tens of thousands, and it made an impact, right?
Sure does. And the type of impact we want eventually is when you call a senator's office, you want his office saying, uh-oh, we're on the radar of PRC PAC.
Absolutely. Because political clout, that this answers your question. What is political clout? Political clout is when an elected official knows who you are and wants your favor.
Right. Exactly right.
Okay. So if you're a force, if you're a political force, I mean, I had this thought the other night. Can you imagine one of these Congress people that, I don't know, pick an example, that voted with Paul Ryan to issue all these hundreds of thousands of extra worker visas, okay? Can you imagine if a congressman's office would have gotten, I don't know, 5,000 emails from people saying, I don't live in your district, but I promise you if you vote this way, I will donate to your opponent next time around.
Yeah, that's exactly what needs to happen. That only happens with people getting involved and being willing to put a little bit of time and money into something. That's it. It's the only way it's going to happen.
Right. And if you're organized, if you have a good, solid organization around you, then it doesn't take a whole lot of time, does it? I mean, because, I mean, you know, a few times a year, if the organization puts out the thought, hey, here's a big issue, we need to do this.
Right.
And you know, so you send an email, you make a phone call, whatever, you know. It's just not that tough to do that. And then like, you know, unlike any organization, like a union, I guess, everyone pays a nominal set of dues. I mean, I there's a membership fee, of course, but it's nominal. And then you go in, you pay a small amount of dues. In the case of PRC PAC, it's as little as $29 a month. So right. People can come in and for a small amount of monthly dues, they can be part of an organization that's exercising political clout, that's organizing and fighting back against the Republican leadership that's not paying attention. And you know, and here's what I would say, Todd. I mean, it's just, to me, it's so obvious and it's so simple. You know, if a person is hearing the sound of our voice right now, and if you're not going to join us, if you're not going to do this, okay, that's fine. But what are you going to do?
Posting on Facebook and Twitter isn't going to get it done.
Unfortunately, it's not. You know, it's really, really not. And they're marginalizing those venues, right? The left is anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And the truth is, I'm going to tell you this. This is a little bit of inside baseball. Maybe it's an example of what you get by being a member of PRCPAC, because I do want to talk a little bit about the benefits of membership in a second. But one of the benefits, here's a great example of it. I can tell you that a huge amount of elected officials in Washington, D.C., and bureaucrats and staffers and everything else, they laugh at the Facebook, the social media, everything else, because, you know, they feel like that's a way to let the riffraff vent. They consider it healthy for them that we go out and vent on Facebook and social media and everything else instead of getting organized against them. So they laugh because we're doing exactly, when we don't organize, when we don't take action against them, effective action, we play right into their hands. So this is what we've got to do. The path is clear. We have to get out there and do this. So let's talk a little bit about the benefits of joining a political union like PRCPAC.
Okay, and that's perfect. Somebody comes in and they decide to join us. What are they going to get? We've talked about this in one other podcast, but give us a quick synopsis of what that's going to look like.
Okay. Well, like we just mentioned, you can get some inside scoop, inside understanding of how Washington really works, what the attitudes are. Now, I personally think that's invaluable. Some people go, well, that's kind of interesting, but you know, but it is one definite thing you get because we're plugged in a lot of ways most people don't understand. Another thing is we have a social media network. Now, it's a private social media network. It's not meant to compete with Facebook, although it's kind of similar to Facebook in some ways. But, we can use it for socialization amongst like-minded members, and all that's good and that's fun. But, you know, one of the primary purposes of it, Todd, is we can do a deep dive research into political candidates. It's a place we can set up pages for each candidate or each office holder, and we can accumulate evidence and articles and reports and voting records and everything. And we can put it all. We have one place to put it all.
A one-stop shop for information on candidates.
Exactly. And that's a huge endeavor. I mean, I hope when people hear us talk about this, they realize how big a deal that is.
Right.
Because it's really tough. I mean, put it this way, if you're not going to use a resource like that, where are you going to find this information? Well, I follow the news. Really? Which news? Well, I listen to Fox News. Really? Like Shep Smith? And
so yeah, they're all about the same now.
Unfortunately, it's getting that way, right? So what we do is we have multiple, it's like an aggregator, multiple sources. And the other thing is also you have to understand everything we do is under the veil is lifted, because everything we do is not under the guise of Republican versus Democrat. It's under the guise of a ruling class culture versus we the people. And so when you start looking at everything in that light, it all starts making sense. So we do that. We have all kinds of podcasts. I mean, a lot of it's informational, right? We have all kinds of podcasts. We have videos. We do campaign ads. We have blogs and posts and things people can use.
Newsletter.
Newsletter. Oh, yeah, it's awesome, man. We have merchandise people can get involved with. I mean, there's just all kinds of things we do. Events, there are all kinds of things we do that really allow someone to not just claim that, oh, yeah, I donated money to the Republican Party, so I'm standing up against evil. But, you know, I mean, people can literally get involved and make a difference, and they can see they're making a difference. They know they're making a difference. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's a good feeling. It's a real good feeling. So,
well, you know, you say donate to the Republican Party. I used to donate to the Republican Party. One problem that I found, probably much like many of you that are hearing this, is when they quit representing what I thought I was giving money to, and I have no idea where that money goes once it goes to the Republican Party. They do with it what they want. Probably write to Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, and they put it wherever they want. With this, you're going to have a voice and see exactly where your money's at and what we're doing, and have a vote or a say in what direction we go with your money.
Yeah, I agree totally. And by the way, I'm not saying don't donate to, like, I don't know, President Trump directly, right? I'm not saying don't donate to a particular candidate, right. But you're right. I mean, if you're trying to donate just to the Republican Party or something generic like that, I can promise you it's not going where you want it to go. And half the time, it's dangerous to donate to a particular candidate because, you know, those candidates, they lie, right?
Yeah.
Around election time. So if you're with an organization like PRC PAC, where we go through the entire history, we back it up, we do the deep dive research. Now, we will run ads and support particular candidates, critical candidates, candidates that are running against ruling class politicians.
That we've vetted and we've identified that align with what we are about.
Absolutely. And as a member, you see, now there's different levels of membership, and I don't really want to go into detail here. I mean, well, like the NRA, you can buy a lifetime membership, right? But there's different levels of membership you can come in at. And like I said, for as little as $29 a month. But when you're a member like that, you have a voice in our, and you participate. You have a voice in how we spend our funds and how we organize or how we, excuse me, mobilize against, you know, different individuals. You have a voice in deciding who those individuals are. You're a part of the debate. You're a part of the conversation. And in some cases, at particular levels, you're a part of the decision-making process. So, I mean, this is a participatory membership. It's not just a card-carrying thing. It's something where you really do get involved.
Right. You know, you were talking about the management, how management has represented us on so many issues, but this time of year, it kind of reminds me of Christmas Vacation with Clark Griswold when he's waiting on his bonus and he opens it up and it's the Jelly of the Month Club. And a lot of times I feel like that's what the people that represent us is, they give us the Jelly of the Month Club when we're waiting on a bonus to build a swimming pool.
Yeah, you're so right. And not all of them are bad. I mean, the Freedom Caucus in the House, I think there's some pretty good people there. There's some senators out there that are pretty good senators. So we're not against any professional politician, but I don't consider being a professional politician a positive mark in and of itself either.
It was never designed to be a career.
No.
Never. And our forefathers never, ever looked at politics as a way to come in, live in an apartment, and go out living in a $7 million home. That's not what it was designed for.
And Todd, one last thought in that area here. What keeps more, we need more, I think everybody would agree, we need more citizen legislators. We need more, you know, business people, doctors, whatever.
Sure.
Saying, hey, I'll throw my hat in the ring. I'll serve in Congress for 2, 4, 6 years, or I'll serve in the Senate for a term, you know, and then I'm going to go back to my life. But what keeps people like that from running?
I think what keeps people like that from running is they don't feel like they know enough, because the ruling class has, I guess, a mantra about them that they know better. They know how to rule. And if you're not part of it, you just don't have, you're just not quite smart enough to do that. You've got to have the political background to make it work.
Well, okay. Let me put that, kind of drive that down or condense that down into a succinct way to say that. They don't have any organization. A candidate, if someone looks up and says, look, I want to run for office, they don't have an organization behind them. They don't have all the clout, the ability to get anything done. They don't have the money. They don't have the fundraising mechanisms. And they see themselves going up against an organized party leadership.
So, and they say, I could never beat them.
Yeah, exactly. So now here's the thing, though. What if there's a political union out there that openly stands up against the powers that be, some of those things. Now, again, not every politician's bad, okay? But openly stands up against the ruling class leadership of the Republican Party. And what if a candidate knew that, not just because, I guarantee you, when we do this in a big way and people start hearing about us, there'll be copycats, there'll be others, and that's a good thing.
Right. Okay?
So if candidates out there realize that, wait a minute, there are organizations that get it. There are organizations out there. If I'm true to my heart, if I'm honest with the American people and I go out there, I can stand up. There will be people that will support me. There will be organizations that will get behind me financially and politically. You know, you're going to open up a whole world of new people being willing to take the chance, being willing to run for office. And that's what we need. So this is critical on a whole bunch of different levels.
Right. I agree. Open up the eyes of many people. So
that's right.
Do you have anything else you want to add on that? If not, I'm going to throw in the quote of the week.
No, I appreciate you doing this. Yeah, I think that gives a good idea. So when we're talking, one last question I've got for you. If somebody says to you, well, what is PRCPAC? How do you answer that?
PRCPAC is a political union, if you will, that gives mainstream Americans like you and I a voice in politics that now we don't have.
Yeah, and organizes us to stand up against the Republican leadership that doesn't care about us anymore. So exactly. Awesome. Okay, so yeah, I appreciate that, but no, I cannot wait to hear your quote of the week. I look forward to this every week.
Okay, this comes from House of Representatives Ted Lieu, 33rd District in California.
He's a piece of work, man.
Boy, he's been all over the news this week, but he was on the news and said that he would love to regulate the content of speech, but the First Amendment prevents him from doing so. Now, it's one thing to misspeak or make a mistake when you're talking out loud, but I think he misspoke in a whole nother sense in that he accidentally blurted out what's running through his brain and exposed the way that he thinks.
A Freudian slip.
Yes. They absolutely want to do it, but guess what is in place? Little old document called the Constitution.
Dang it.
Our forefathers were brilliant. I know that.
Yeah, if they could just get rid of that piece of paper, their authoritarian lives would be so much easier.
Yes. And then they could really spread the ruling class mentality all over everybody.
Oh, wow. It's hard to believe we've got people that really think that way in elected office in our country, but that's how bad it's become, Todd. And we the people had better do something.
Yes. Yep. And I can't think of a better thing than joining us.
That's why we're doing it, right? I mean, I know this has not been convenient for you or me or a lot of other people that helped put this together and are supporting it. And now that it's growing and getting up and running, you know, we're starting to see some of the fun sides of it. But my hat's off to you. You're a true patriot. And I think there'll be a day where you get a chance to get honored for all the hard work that you put into it back when nobody knew what was going on and you weren't appreciated. So thank you.
Well, thank you for your vision in driving the movement and founding it. But it's one of those things that anything that's worth doing isn't convenient. And it doesn't matter what it is in life. You know, in the big scope of life, I tell my kids that all the time. If it's worth it, you got to grind it out a little bit. So that's what we're doing. We're grinding it out, and I'm happy to do it. So,
well said, sir. Well said. Thank you.
All right, Bill. With that, I think we're going to wrap it up. This was episode 16. Todd and Bill, I'm going to sign off. And once again, everybody remember, it's always a great day to be an American. Thanks for listening.